Excellent. And also from Heritage Hamilton? Excellent. The Heritage Hamilton Foundation. And Environment Hamilton? Possibly, yeah. Okay, don't want to put you on the spot, Don. Excellent. And finally from the Hamilton Artists Inc. Last but not least. And then from the Sky Dragon Cooperative as well. I think if anyone else after wants to say a word or two as well. Oh yeah, sorry, Matt Jellies, sorry. The guy who kind of like organized the whole thing. I guess, I mean, we did a phone interview with CHML earlier in the week, but unfortunately we don't see the other video tonight. And yeah, boo, that's not too. But this is being video documented, and all the statements will be transcribed and will be used just to get the message out about how we want more than anyone else to see Lister live again. We want to see it restored, and we think that this is possible and necessary, and all these people are going to speak much more eloquently to that than I can. So here they come. And so this is Diane Dent from LACAC. We're very happy she's here. Thank you very much, Diane.
Besides those who know me, know what LACAC stands for. Okay, you know what it stands for?
No.
Local Architectural Conservation Advisory Committee. In 1976, Bob Welsh, member of the Conservative Cabinet, decided that we needed to do something about saving our buildings. So he declared the Ontario Heritage Act in 1976 in a city in Ontario that has wonderful stone buildings, and that's Kingston. Following that, the city councils across Ontario were given the right to have LACAC committees or municipal heritage committees. And our mandate is to advise council on buildings worthy of architectural and or historical merit. Now, if you have a great, intelligent council, it's very easy to convince them. There's someone who you may remember, Bill McCullough, who kept phoning me years ago and saying, don't forget about this building, you better save it. If you have a council that's pro-development, it's much more difficult. One of the first buildings that we had adaptive reuse for was Central Public School, and Grant Head may talk about that. The Unified Family Court, which was the Carnegie Building, the Pigott Building, the Sun Life, the Gowlings Building. So there are lots of buildings in town. When we did the Unified Family Court, the developer wanted to put in what we would call warehouse windows. We went to Toronto, we went over the heads of the council here, and we got a very good adaptive reuse and a new building at the back. When we come to the Lister Block, we've known for years that this is a provincially designatable building, and we hope that will be the result. You know that in 1995, the Lister Block was designated by the municipality, by the city of Hamilton. In addition, members of the staff, the heritage staff, went to the government of Canada and said, we'd like to see it a National Historic Site. The other National Historic Sites in Hamilton, one is Dundurn Castle, the other is Victoria Hall, which is in the Gore. The only reason we understand that the Lister Block was not made a National Historic Site was because the owners, the previous owners, would not allow the Canadian Heritage people to see through the building. So that brings us to today. What steps are being taken? Well, the building was designated. The owners, when they bought it, agreed that the designation should stay. They said that they were going to make a wonderful restoration project, but little by little, the building started to deteriorate. And more, we all became angry and frustrated. So when the current owners applied for a demolition permit, or just before they did, all of you and lots of other people like you contacted the Minister of Culture, whose name is Carolyn Tococo. Why did we contact her? Because 2 years ago, the Liberal government put more teeth into the Ontario Heritage Act. Formally, you could designate a building, but it wasn't always protected if the owner wanted to demolish it. Now, if an owner wants to demolish a building, a group like you can write to the Minister of Culture and say, we want this building saved. Now the minister has two teeth in the Ontario Heritage Act. One is she can give a 60-day pause to negotiate, or she can slap on or put on a heritage designation through the province. So I hope all of you have contacted Carolyn Tococo, because in the next 4 weeks, she will be looking for an email from everyone who wants to support preservation. So what we're asking you tonight, thanks to Kevin through Rock the Block, is to make sure you contact your councillor in this city and Carolyn Tococo, the Minister of Culture, and say, thank you for allowing us to have this 60-day period to negotiate, but we want to make sure that you know that we care about this building in Hamilton, and we know that it should be designated provincially, because the Ontario Heritage Trust, of which Lincoln Alexander is the chair, had a report, and it's under a private seal, we can't see it, but we're under the impression, with all the smiles we're seeing, that this building is worthy of provincial designation. So thanks for all your support. Keep it up. We won't know until mid-August or end of August that we've been successful. So anyone you know, please encourage them to either ask any of us, particularly Kevin, we'll give them the information, so that when you send an email to the Minister of Culture and your counselor, you'll say this building is worthy of preservation, restoration, and provincial designation. So thanks for all your help. And it's a lot of you young people here, middle age, old. We need all of you to help. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much, Diane. This is now Barbara Murray from the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. Thanks, Barbara.
Good evening. On behalf of the Hamilton Region branch of the Architectural Conservancy, we're actually thrilled to be here with you tonight, our fellow citizens of this city. So often we're sitting as part of a city council meeting, looking at the debate going on, that very painful debate that went on June the 14th. On June the 12th, we egged on many of our fellow citizens in making presentations. And so tonight to see a celebration, first and foremost, to see an angle, certainly for me a little newer angle on the Lister Block than what we always see either on King William or on James Street North, to see the wonderful interpretations in many different kinds of media inside, and to be exposed or to have an opportunity to share some time with folks who value the Lister Block as much as each and every member of the Architectural Conservancy does is really, really encouraging and gratifying. Diane is taking you kind of through the process. The thing about the Architectural Conservancy is we're an advocacy group. Our group started in 1933. Our first big project basically was Barnum House, is what we're known for. We acquired Barnum House, the provincial organization restored it. It is now owned by the Ontario Heritage Trust and run by a small community group. But out in our various communities, some of our branches are far more involved in, they've rallied around saving a particular building and they continue to run it. So we're into saving buildings. We're also into saving cultural landscapes. That's landscapes where man has had an impact. So whether it's a rural landscape where we got the grid system for farms, and the grids of course got mixed up by rivers that tend to follow wherever they wish, to a cultural landscape in an urban center. Our collective efforts are what has brought us to this, that the minister put in the 60-day pause. The real, real challenge is over the next 3 weeks. that new amended Ontario Heritage Act, City Council chose not to come to the bar to use that tool. The minister has that tool. She's implemented some of it for this pause, but she's going to need a lot of support. She's had some support around the cabinet table because folks like you and me have been letting our local MPPs know, as well as our councillors. Gee, some even got it onto the radar of the premier. Well, although it's the Ontario Heritage Act and the tool is a provincial designation, it has ramifications for other provincial government ministries. I won't go into the more time on the Ontario Heritage Act. That one's pretty straightforward. The other ministry that's got a stake in this is the Environment Ministry. Many of you may have read something as recently as in the Heritage Canada out of their conference last year that the greenest building is an existing building. Many, many of us are concerned that this gorgeous building, many intact components, would just end up in a landfill site. It seems really strange the city is spending money to convince us to recycle, going into the organic part, and they just signed a deal that all of this could end up in some kind of landfill. So the Ontario Heritage Act, although it's not an environment tool, plays as much into the environment in keeping all this built heritage out of landfill sites. The Environment Minister is Laurel Broughton. So besides in writing, emailing, calling Minister DeCoco, you should probably add on your contact list Minister Laurel Broughton. The linkages don't stop there. We have John Gerritsen, Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing. How is he involved? Well, Municipal Affairs, you could be very concerned about Hamilton, how Hamilton brought around this deal. But he also has the Planning Act. And this city has violated its own secondary plan for the downtown, its own rules that it passed for planning in this city. I think he'd be very interested in what the city has approved in this. And why I'm raising all these people, DeCoco, as Diane did, Laurel Broughton, John Gerritsen, they all sit at cabinet. If this government, if Minister DeCoco is going to have the political support, this is the first real test of the Ontario Heritage Act, to go against a majority vote of a city council, she's going to need the political support. That cabinet has to feel that this matters. This matters not just to heritage activists, artists, people who care about the planning and the development of their community and the sustainability of their community. They need to understand this has very, very serious consequences. And remember, I happen in my day job to work for the provincial government, and I can assure you that it's already on the radar that the provincial election is next October. That's 15 months away, folks. I think we need to make it very, very clear to them, and this is what the Architectural Conservancy can do. We are not city council appointees, so we can get out there and activate or advocate and encourage our friends and neighbors to advocate as well. We want to get the message across to the provincial government through DeCoco, Broughton, Gerritsen, and every one of our local MPPs, so Minister Butriani, Parliamentary Secretary Jennifer Mossop, Judy Marsalis, and bless them, the opposition, Andrea Horvath. We want to get the message across so that you do not want to go into the 2007 election wearing an abject failure of your brand new amended Ontario Heritage Act, the first time it got tested. It took us 30 years. They started the year after the Ontario Heritage Act was passed. It took them 30 years to make that amendment to prohibit demolition. Do you want Hamilton to be the first time out and they fail? So crank up your computers, get your cards and pens out, and write all that list of folks, and let's hope in a month's time that we can have a resounding celebration that it does have a provincial designation and it's saved. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara. I just want to say to anyone who's interested in getting those names and email addresses, because I'm sure people were trying to memorize them, and like me, you didn't do it. There is going to be an email list at the door, and we're just hoping that we promise this will only be used to get information like that out to people. And the other thing I want to say really quickly is, because we have this 3-week period to put more pressure, there's been talk of actually trying to do a rally, a very significant show of people around the Lister block. We hope to get 1,000 people on the street. And I think, again, that if we can use the networks that are here tonight and the people who've shown up, then that's very possible. So anyway, please sign that email list and we'll get you that information. Now is Mike DeNoia from the Hamiltonians for Progressive Development. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Just for those of you who don't know anything about HPD, I'd like to take the opportunity to tell you a little bit briefly about us. HPD is, or Hamiltonians for Progressive Development, is a relatively new organization, and we have just a tremendous group of very dedicated, creative, vibrant individuals who are really working to try to engage the city in a very more collaborative fashion. We strongly believe in the principles of Vision 2020, and we embrace that. HPD, we celebrate our 1-year anniversary tomorrow. We're a not-for-profit incorporated organization, and we ostensibly came about because of our opposition to the proposed urban boundary expansions, specifically in the area of the Hamilton Airport. Not only because it uses up a great deal of very valuable agricultural lands, but it's one of our major concerns is that it will defocus the city's efforts to what we believe is the need for a very vibrant and sustainable urban environment. And that's, in some ways, is what we're here to talk about tonight in regards to the Lister block. We're very pleased to be here this evening to help share our support. We've expressed at length our concerns to the minister, and hopefully we, being the eternally optimistic ones, are hopeful that the outcome of the current force that's negotiating will come to a positive conclusion and will look to restore and renovate this very significant heritage site. It goes without saying that we have some grave concerns with the proposal that is currently on the table. And again, that's what brings us here this evening. One of the things that we stand for, or that we try to engage the city in, and it was referred to just recently, I think that the city makes its rules, then doesn't have a habit of following them. A little over about a month ago, the city approved the GRIDS, which is its 30-year plan for growth. And a big part of that growth is urban intensification, quite a large amount of urban intensification. But one of our concerns about any proposal to restore or renovate the Lister block is that it contains absolutely no residential component. It's one thing to restore the building and bring the people downtown from 9 to 5, but what happens after 5 o'clock when we all go to our crowded parking lots and go to suburbia? We'd like to see the people come downtown and stay downtown, and that will create a very strong and vibrant urban community. And we all know that history has shown, and there are many examples in North America, that strong core means a strong city. And I think that's where we're failing right now. In any case, we are fully supportive of the restoration of the Lister block. We applaud the efforts of LACAC and all of the other organizations that are trying to make this forward. As I stated, we've expressed our concerns to the minister, and if you go on our website, you'll see I believe it's an 8-page letter that we've written to the minister, and hopefully that we can play some role. We believe that our group, as small as it is and as young as it is, has played a vital role in changing some of the attitudes of the members of City Council. I was told at one time that when you become a personal target, you know you're making a difference. And I think I've become the personal target in a number of ways, and I'm willing to do that if it means some change, and change for the better. So once again, thank you for Kevin and your efforts for putting this evening together, and welcome to everybody. And I can't help but put in a plug for HPD, and we're always looking for new supporters and members. And if anybody's interested, I happen to have membership forms with me here this evening. No charge to become a member.
We want to engage everybody, and we want to make sure that as a community, we're sending our message to City Council loud and clear. Thank you.
Hi there, my name is Allison Jones. I'm participating with Rock the Block through Sky Dragon Center. It's my privilege among the other folks, the important folks that are interested in Lister revitalization, to be able to welcome you to someone who would like to speak, who is taking a break out of a family wedding this evening to come and see us. And certainly I think you'll agree this is a person who has shown a great deal of commitment to Lister and downtown revitalization. City Councilor Bob Bertina. Bob?
Well, thank you, everyone. And I was at a wedding down at the Chamber, and it's very pretty. But my wife acknowledged that I needed to get away and spend some time with you here because it's so important to us. However, I will get back eventually because I think there's liqueurs and all nice sorts of things happening. But with regard to why we're here today, I never thought I'd ever use a George W. Bush quote, but I'm going to use one tonight. You got to stop doing this shit. There's a very funny blog where a guy's written a whole song using that line very interesting way, but I was thinking of that all day today. I was talking to some people at the wedding who are, you know, good, down-to-earth, solid people who say, they keep coming back with, yeah, but we got to do something. Yeah, and the something we got to do is preserve this building and turn it into a useful part of the downtown, which has already been mentioned, which is a residential or something else. Now, there's a building over here, the Wright House, and they're going to lose 75% of their tenants to come over here. So now they're empty. They renovated that building on their own money, and they're using our health services are in that building right now. So they're stuck, and I was very delighted that Irene Hubar, who is the head of the representative of Aragon Properties, who owns the Wright House, who wrote a scathing letter accusing even the mayor of using a downtown rental opportunity to hype this project, because this has no merit. This is, I have issues, and I said this in a letter to a couple of people. My share in Ward 2 over the years is about $700,000, and I need that money not to support the Labor's International Union Pension Plan or whatever, however that works. We got kids in at Dr. Davies School. We were going to exchange the property that the school is on with what is known as Beasley Park, but we did soil testing and we found the soil was contaminated. So the city decided, not even through council, just through staff, well, it's going to cost so much to remediate that brownfield park that we're not going to do the swap. So instead, Dr. Davies School is going to have to be rebuilt in situ where it stands. And instead of a nice modern school, it's going to be a three-story block building that's going to occupy. And the funny thing is that it's probably a brownfield too, because there's a plume of contamination that is extending along there. So they're probably going to have to spend money to remediate the site of Dr. Davies School when they rebuild it. So what my statement to them, and I'm trying to advance this, is if we don't remediate the site and rebuild a proper school, what we're going to have is a brownfield park. And all of the great words that are said about poverty and we've got to move ahead, I mean, these people have got the wherewithal to do a project here. That project can be supported by well over $3 million in funding and loans that are available to do a residential project. There is absolutely no need to go ahead with what they are talking about, which is destroying this building and putting up some, you know, it's like going to Disneyland when you see the fake Matterhorn and the fake this, and they even have fake dead people walking around. I remember Universal Studios, they have Marilyn Monroe and Desi Arnaz and all these, you know, it's eerie and it's sad. And to do this to the Lister Block, would be the equivalent of that. So what, thank you. So the money that we're wasting, you know, it's well over $10 million that we don't have. We're going to have to borrow that money to do a favor to the same people that we're doing a favor to over at the Cannot. Now, here's the Beasley park the kids play in, which is a contaminated park, and we don't want to find the money to clean it up. So if we don't do that, forever and a day, it will be a contaminated park. But the special group over here at the Cannot found that they had far more asbestos contamination than they realized, so we found $290,000 for them. Let's find something for the Beasley kids, and let's let this project go ahead as with the Downtown Loans Program. And I just want to explain something to you all now. I called a developer by the name of Darko Vranich, and I said, Darko, could you do the space we need in the old federal building for $20 a square foot or less? And he said, yes. I said, would you be willing to buy the Lister block for the amount of money that they paid for it, which is $1.6 million? And the answer was yes. And I said, would you look at a renovation project? Yes. And would you talk to our staff about it? Yes. And the reason I did that was, it was clearly stated in the paper, such as it is, that there was no plan B, there was no alternative. There couldn't be an alternative. This is the only way we can go. I make one phone call from my porch on Walnut Street, and there's a guy who says, yeah, we can do this, this, this. And that so-called deal, you know, was a negotiation, and it would have to be dealt with by staff, would provide 60,000 square feet in the old federal building, which is sitting there rotting. So-called rotting, because these buildings don't really rot. That's a lot of baloney, as we all know. And we would have a restoration to a residential project. So we get two downtown distressed buildings fixed with one phone call one afternoon. So the result of trying to do your job as a counselor with pressure and demand from people in the ward to say, you know, can we save this building? Is there another way of doing it? Is if you don't resign by such and such, we will sue you, which is against the Criminal Code of Canada, influencing municipal officials. So I think we know who and what we're dealing with. And if this city is so pathetic, and I keep hearing, well, we gotta do something, use your head. There's nothing wrong with that building. That building can be restored, it can be put to a useful purpose, and it can be done without a huge cost to the taxpayers of Hamilton, because we're going to have to find somewhere over $10 million in excess of what we need to do this. I was just visiting people in the East End whose basements have been flooded. The reason their basements were flooded was that the regional municipality of Hamilton transferred funds from fixing sewers and other roads and infrastructure to build the link, which is part of the expressway. So that's the legacy of that. What's the legacy going to be of this, finding $10 million that we won't be able to spend on other things that we need, such as remediating Beasley Park and making it a decent place for people to live? It's really disgraceful. There's no other word for it. And that it could get this far with so much support, and then to see the mayor going around that he's got $100,000 in his war chest already for the, I mean, what kind of a city are we living in, and what kind of people are we? So I'm not sure how this is particular thing is going to end up. But I do know this, that we're right and they're wrong, and we got to stop doing this shit. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bob. We have Grant Head coming up from the Heritage Hamilton Foundation. Thank you.
Well, it's really great to be with this group tonight. I looked at the website for Sky Dragon Center, and On it, it says something like, creating a better world, one building at a time. I just want to tell a very short story. Once upon a time, there was a steel town on Lake Ontario. It was in the 1970s. And there were two fairly young people in their late 20s and early 30s. And they said, too many buildings are going down. In 10 years, there won't be any that are pre-1880 in the city at the rate they're going down. What can we do about it? And who's going to do something about it? And they realized, who's going to do it? They are. No money, but starting out with a tiny bit of money, bought two buildings in the downtown neighborhood and started with their own hands, renovating them, living in them. Another building was crumbling, but it was a beautiful structure from 1850 in the downtown neighborhood. And well, all right, got to buy that one. Got to get that fixed up, get some tenants in that. Then another, there was a neighborhood just to the west of here, southwest of here, that there was a war going on. And the war, the buildings were being reduced to rubble. One after one after one. And the ammunition was money. So they'd already done two, three, four buildings themselves. They were out of money. Got some friends together, bought another one, did that one, got it rented out. Then out of money again. So they got 40 friends together and formed Heritage Hamilton. And at the time, a huge, beautiful structure was derelict and rotting. They managed to talk the developer that already had a demolition permit for that into selling it to them. The money was raised in 30 days. $250,000 was raised in 30 days by that group of 40 people. And the developer refused to sell it. But the city saw that something was wrong there, and the city and the province teamed up. They bought it, they fixed it up, they restored it. It was it's now a National Historic Site. I guess if you apply that story and you move forward to 2006, what I'm seeing is a whole group of people in their 20s and 30s that are here. The motto of the Sky Dragon Center, there's a rotting, derelict building. There's their own building. There's lots of other buildings. One building at a time, it can be done. And I know you guys are going to do it. And thanks very much.
Thank you, Grant. So we have Ian Jarvis now from the Hamilton Artists Inc. Thanks, Ian.
Hi everyone, thanks for coming out tonight. I'm just going to read a statement on behalf of Hamilton Artists Inc. Hamilton Artists Inc. is a nonprofit artist-run center that's located on James Street North in Colburn, just up the street from here. And it's been around for about 30 years and represents over 250 artists in the Hamilton region. So, we're very concerned about the Lister Block. The Lister Block is an integral part of Hamilton's history. It was the first indoor arcade and is a sample of unique building and architectural techniques. In its own way, the Lister Block is a work of art. As a piece of art, the Lister Block brings the neighborhood a sense of what it is and what it was to live in Hamilton in the past. It provides a grounding and a context for the neighborhood we live in. The Lister Block should be restored, not erased. A replica can never be the same as an original. This building can't be torn down and rebuilt. To say it can is a lie. The moldings were done by craftspeople that no longer exist and whose skills have since been lost. In a world that is moving faster and faster, it can give us strength to know where we came from. The Lister Block is worth preserving so people of both today and tomorrow can look back and know what Hamilton was and is with pride. So I think we have to really, really get out there and fight for this. It's really important. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. We have Allison Jones, who's going to read some regrets from people who weren't able to show up, and then Mr. Jelly is going to close out the speakers. Thank you.
Hi there, it's me again. I have someone to introduce as well as to pass on regrets and good wishes. Wayne Marsden, our MP for Hamilton East Stoney Creek, was unable to come to the event because he's been booked solid from 4 p.m. till midnight tonight, but he sends his very best wishes for Rock the Block. City Councilor Brian McCaddy, another fantastic city councilor working on Lister with firm commitment. He's taken a break from the pressure cooker that is municipal politics for him right now. He's on vacation, but I have heard from his assistant who says that he would, of course, extend all the very best to us tonight and hope for all success for our endeavor. We have also best wishes and wishes for success from City Councilor Sam Marula as well, who was unable to attend, but also sends us his positivity as well. And perhaps we'll do that, yes. And I'd like to, without further ado, also call upon another attendee here. We have Kelly Hayes, the CLC regional staff rep from the Canadian Labour Congress. Kelly?
Hi everyone, I'm representing the Canadian Labour Congress, which is Canada's central body. It's kind of the umbrella organization for most of the unions in Canada. Not all of them belong to the Canadian Labour Congress, and LIUNA being one of those. But most other unions do. And so I'm bringing greetings on behalf of our president, Ken Giorgetti, our secretary-treasurer, Hassan Youssef, and our two executive vice presidents, Barb Byers and Marie Clark Walker. And there's two things that I wanted to just talk to you about very briefly when it comes to the Canadian Labour Congress. And the first is our commitment and our strong belief in the link between arts and heritage and working class people in our country. And it's been a couple decades now that the Canadian Labour Congress has ensured that the arts are worked throughout all of our conventions, all of our conferences, and within all of our policies. And we're very proud of that. And what I'm hoping we can build on that in Hamilton itself and start getting more of a link between the arts community and the Hamilton and District Labour Council. The other thing I wanted to let you know about the Canadian Labour Congress is our main focus right now is the municipal election, which is coming up on November 13th. We have here in Hamilton put up with disappearing farmland, with disappearing valleys, and now with disappearing heritage buildings. And so it is about time that we took over this city council. It is in a dismal state, and quite frankly, when I travel around the province working with other cities on municipal election activities, they actually laugh when it comes to Hamilton and when I say I'm from Hamilton. I'm a very proud Hamiltonian. I get quite offended at that. And yet when I look at the state of council, it is embarrassing. And so the only way we're actually going to change that is if we get our butts out there and we first of all start running some good progressive candidates that are going to work on behalf of us. And I actually see quite a few faces out here tonight that would make, you'd make great candidates. So that's what the one thing we have to do. The second thing we have to do is start getting behind those candidates and working on behalf of them and making sure that we are out there canvassing for them, supporting them, fundraising for them, and putting all of our resources behind them. It's coming up on November 13th. We have a chance to change what's happening right now. And in addition to that, we need to support the very few councillors on City Hall that are actually working for us. And we've heard from a couple of them tonight. So those are my greetings, and those are my hopes and my wishes for us as a community. And the Canadian Labour Congress is behind, certainly behind the restoration of the Lister Block and behind the municipal elections on November 13th. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Kelly. I would like to introduce Mr. Matt Jelly, who I think has been an extremely passionate advocate and defender of this building, and very appropriate that he will finish off our list of speakers. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Kevin, and thanks, everyone. I'm more of a writer than a speaker, so I've got some notes to keep me on track. But first of all, I'd like to thank the Sky Dragon Center and all of you for coming to the event and hosting the event on behalf of Sky Dragon. And the important exhibition on the inside that I'm sure you've all seen. I can't tell you how inspiring it is for me as an artist to see Hamilton's cultural community rally together, especially for the protection of a part of Hamilton's unique cultural character, the 83-year-old Lister Block. If you ask me, it's about time Hamilton's cultural community got a chance to express concern and caution about the potential demolition of the Lister Block. And it's about time that this community stood together to say no to demolition, no to replication, and a resounding yes to the restoration and preservation of this important cultural landmark. It's also very appropriate that this exhibition is taking place here in this building on this block. The Sky Dragon's house is one of the few properties on this block that have been relatively well maintained. You'll notice that every vacant derelict property on this block are all owned by the same owner, Laborers International Union of North America. And I don't mean to say that in disrespect to the success that LIUNA has had with other important projects in the downtown core. I mean, no one can dispute that in terms of development, LIUNA can be an effective player in this city. However, that doesn't absolve them of their responsibility to this block, and neither does it excuse their neglect of the Lister Block since they purchased it in 1999. As a lifelong resident of downtown, it frustrates and worries me when great old buildings I've come to love suffer at the hand of property speculators, groups who buy up tracts of properties, depress their value, ignore property standards bylaws, and wait for the economy to turn around enough to sell these properties off for more than they bought them for. Or in the worst case, expect the taxpayers to solve what has unnecessarily become a very public problem. It does a disservice to our downtown to see these once proud buildings sit underused and neglected. A lot has been said lately about the need to move forward, the need to revitalize the downtown core, and we've heard these statements from LIUNA and those who support the proposal as a way to advance the notion of demolishing this landmark building. And I can tell you we do need to move forward and revitalize the downtown. For a couple of decades now we have. One of the simple things we can do is encourage property owners, and not just encourage them, but enforce upon property owners the maintenance of their buildings, especially if these buildings are designated as heritage buildings. To subsidize the development, to subsidize the demolition of the Lister Block with taxpayers' dollars rewards what can only be called bad behavior and negligence, full stop. Hamilton has many disadvantages, some or most of which we're overly familiar with as citizens of Hamilton. But on a more positive note, I'd like to try my best as a proud citizen of the city to look past those disadvantages and see potential, see hope, and find inspiration in the things that make this city great. Our city has a lot going for it, enough that visitors to this community increasingly have a better attitude towards the city than some of its own citizens do. From time to time, I meet someone visiting Hamilton, and I'm always interested to hear their first impressions. To me, the city is so familiar that I can't always see beyond my own memories and my own feelings about the city and the people who call it home. In the last couple of years, I've seen an arts community take root and emerge on James Street North. Artists from out of town will notice the Lister Block when they come here and ask why such a beautiful old building hasn't been adaptively reused, hasn't been restored. This is the most confusing, I think, to Toronto artists who've seen numerous historical properties adaptively reused as condominiums, art studios, galleries. They've seen innovative projects such as the Distillery District, 401 Richmond, the City TV building. And that's just to name a few. In the 20th century, modern cities are learning not just to erase their histories in order to build a future, for many good reasons. In order to develop communities in a sustainable way, our best approach to development is to satisfy the triple bottom line. And we hear that sort of used as a buzzword from a lot of politicians. For anything that we do to be in the best interests of the environment, economy, and culture, those are supposed to be those three bottom lines. And I'd like to emphasize that the development proposal that LIUNA has presented this, and City Council has endorsed doesn't fully satisfy any of these priorities completely, or as well as they could. Culturally, LIUNA's plan would seek to demolish a culturally significant piece of architecture, a physical part of this community's cultural heritage. Economically, this plan proposes to take $10 to $20 million in the form of a premium and put it in the hands of one developer in one building. The more sensible approach would be to invest this money in small projects throughout our downtown in a way that's incentive-driven, which is an approach that we know that can be successful. Environmentally, a redevelopment that would include demolition would send tons of reusable materials to our landfills, as been already mentioned tonight. And the construction of a new building would expend far more energy than a reasonable renovation of this building ever could. To be very clear, I know how anxious everyone is to move forward and see things happen in this downtown core. And I can tell you that I share that same anxiety. I live here, always have, and most likely always will. I work here, I shop here, and I contribute to this downtown core, and I feel the need for revitalization just as much as anyone else, believe me. I know how easy it is to give in to our collective impatience and to see downtown redevelop. We know from past experience what this impatience can lead to. In the 60s and 70s, the downtown Hamilton was in apparent need of massive rejuvenation, and we started a process known as the urban renewal phase, erasing much of the original character of the downtown area and replacing it with several new mega project developments. And this is the period that brought us Jackson Square and Hamilton Place and Cops Coliseum. But it's also the period that brought about the destruction of our old City Hall on James Street North and rerouted our streets to be more accommodating to car traffic than to pedestrians. In terms of the overall success of the urban renewal phase, I believe we lost more than we gained, and we created more problems than we solved. We give in to the psychological need to demolish a part of our past in order to create a part of our future. We know now that we can't afford to make these mistakes again. We know now that we can develop in a way that embraces the remaining vestiges of our past, a way that these structures can be reused in a way that doesn't do a disservice to our cultural heritage. We know now that all of this can be done in an economically sound way if the right vision, determination, and leadership is applied to the way we move forward. So how do we move forward on the Lister Block? If we don't go ahead with this plan on the table right now, what's the new plan? As advocates for preservation, it's a question we must answer. Not to suggest alternatives would be irresponsible. And I know I'm not the only one who still hopes that the owners of this property can open their arms to a new revised plan, one that maintains this building in full and also satisfies our need to revitalize the downtown core, to reestablish the original character of this historic district. Let's also fully satisfy the triple bottom line. The only way that we can satisfy the cultural bottom line is to redevelop this site in a way that incorporates as much of the original heritage structure as possible, not a mere replication. Culturally, an imitation is of no use to us. If, as a community, we still want a Lister Block, let's keep and restore the one we have, especially considering the building is structurally sound by the admission of the owners themselves. Economically, I believe we need to revisit the leasing agreement drawn up by the city in Launa in a way that puts more of the financial responsibility for redevelopment squarely on the shoulders of the owners who have owned and neglected this building for 7 years. It's worth remembering that even after the city subsidizes this redevelopment, Launa will own the asset of a renewed Lister Block. Let's call for a new deal that fully maximizes the benefit for the taxpayer and replaces responsibility where it ought to be. Environmentally, this redevelopment project should be progressive at all stages. Reuse could be the guiding principle in bringing this building back to life. Imagine a redeveloped Lister Block as a prominent downtown showcase for new environmental construction practices, such as geothermal heating systems, a green roof, solar, and even possibly wind power. A city-sponsored showcase for cutting-edge environmental sustainability. It's generally agreed and proven that certified green construction, when done properly, usually costs only 2% more than traditional construction practices. Let's build ourselves an example of how city money can be used not only to develop sustainably, but also to inspire others to do so. There's a lot of Hamilton that needs repair, many parts of this city that will need intense redevelopment. Let's not give in to the short-term satisfaction of destroying the parts of our city that need work. We know that we can't demolish and replace everything in this city. We need to learn quickly how to work what's here and enhance the city we live in. It's a sort of alchemy, and I didn't think I'd be the second speaker to use the word shit tonight, but let's turn shit to gold. I know that's a tough proposition. It means a lot of hard work, and it means a lot of investment, but most importantly, it requires creative solutions, innovation, and strong leadership. I'm just a small part of a broad community asking for all of the above, and I know I'm not alone. There's a real challenge before us in how we proceed with redeveloping not only the Lister Block, but this entire city. The only question that remains is whether this community is up to that challenge. I believe we are, and with the right leadership, vision, and cooperation, it's not too late for us to face that challenge head on. Thank you for your time.
I want to thank all our speakers for their inspiring words. I think there's obviously a lot of sentiment that this is far from over. We know we have a window of opportunity.
before the minister makes a decision. As I mentioned briefly beforehand, we really wanted to see what kind of response this event would generate. I think it's generated excellent response, and so we would really like to try and put together within maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks maximum, probably more like 2 weeks, a rally that is a very visible show of support for this building. And I really do think that we could get a lot of people out. And I think that the message that's most important to get out is that we want to see this building live again more than anyone. We want to see it redeveloped more than anyone. And it's inaccurate that people who worry about and care about heritage are painted as blight huggers, right? It's completely inaccurate. I mean, as the Sky Dragon Center, very briefly just want to mention, I mean, we have just bought a building right beside Lister Block. And do we want to see it redeveloped? Yes. This is going to help our project immensely. It's going to help the people who've invested in our project. And so some people think we're kind of nuts for being interested in restoring this building. You don't have to have one or the other, and I think our speakers have made that amply apparent. You can keep your heritage, you can have an economically viable building, and I think that we've all shown that tonight. I just want to say that this evening there's a lot going on. There is, waiting for folks inside, Julia Garlisi, who is a modern dancer, who has put together some pieces she's going to perform. Outside here we have Dave Gould and the Event Horizon Space Funk Orchestra playing later on, it's going to be great. There's also going to be some live painters who will be working on some of the boards out back here as well throughout the course of the evening. They'll be starting up in the next little while. So please feel free to hang out, to look at the beautiful artwork inside. There's been amazing artists who've contributed to the show. And just take time to enjoy yourself. And please finally put your name on that email contact list, because we will use this as an organizing opportunity for a rally and for something bigger and better after that. So thanks very much. What's going to happen out here is we're going to have some spoken word performances, and then, like I said, inside Julia Garlisi will be doing some dance, go on in and have a drink. The one thing I have to mention too, final thing, is we forgot to tell people that you can't drink outside. So sorry about that. So have a drink inside. Have one or two. But anyway, please enjoy the rest of the evening. Thank you so, so much for coming out. So we are going to hear some poetry, I think, from April Severin, which is always a pleasure. April has just recently published